Thank you very much indeed. In fact, we're going to start today a little bit earlier than that, and that will be Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Churches are businesses, whether we like it or not. They have finances and strategies and management and structures. And the nearest to a CEO is their rector or vicar. But can we call Jesus the CEO? I think it's not an entirely accurate job description, not in terms of the precise nature of his post within the organization and his relationship to the board. And yet, Jesus was definitely in business, and he was the chief. And we will discover plenty about business leadership from him. Learning today from four episodes in his ministry, we can't deny they presented him with very tough assignments, four tough assignments. This is what happens when you're a leader. You often get the very worst left on your desk. And there are four of them that actually came, apparently, according to the gospel, one after another. The first one was a potential national or natural disaster, verses 35 to 41 of chapter 4. Now, this possible disaster was not of Christchurch, New Zealand proportions. But for a small boatload, they definitely feared the worst. Verses 35 onwards. That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so it was nearly swamped. One traveller going through the Sea of Galilee wrote this, "I have seen the face of the lake like a huge boiling cauldron." And this storm apparently hit with such force and ferocity that even the professional fishermen among Jesus' disciples were scared. When I was a young man, I was living down in Cornwall. I knew many of the fishermen, the professional fishermen, very well indeed. Used to play cricket with them and all the rest. And what I discovered from my experience with them is that fishermen are far more conscious of the dangers attached to the sea than the casual visitor. And certainly was the case here. The disciples, Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion, and the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Well, that was one problem, one assignment that he had to deal with, a natural disaster. Secondly, there were uncontrollable demons. This is chapter 5 and the first 20 verses. Let me just read the first three. "They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes, and when Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. And this man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain." Now notice this was caused by an evil spirit, this problem, not a mental disorder. And again, like the last time, Jesus was confronted with his assignment head on. And as I say, leadership usually means being presented with problems that nobody else can solve or nobody else wishes to solve. And the demons in this poor man certainly knew who was in charge. This is what happened. "Night and day among the tombs," verse 5, "and in the hills he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, 'What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me.'" And then we move on to the third assignment. We read about that. It really comes verses 25 to 34 later on. A long-term disease. Here was a lady who had been living with her illness for 12 years. We look at verse 25. A woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. But then the next sentence is not one that you would perhaps see written up in the entrance to Harley Street Clinic or UCH. Let me read it to you. It says, "She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse." Not, in this case, a satisfied customer. But anyway, she heard about Jesus and she expected great things of the person who she recognized as being at the very top. Verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And then we get to the fourth assignment. A young person dies, and by the time Jesus arrived, the girl was dead. And we do have these terrible words in verse 35, just over the page. While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, and they said, your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? In other words, a very simple message. It's too late. I have a very strong memory of a girl who died naturally, but suddenly, aged 13. I was a vicar in Dorking in Surrey. This is back in the 70s. And I was also a governor at the comprehensive school where the girl was a pupil. Now, of course, as the local vicar, I spent time with her parents and preparing for the funeral. But also the head teacher at her school asked me to take a short memorial service for the whole school. We met just outside the main building. I spoke briefly, planted the tree, and prayed. And the girl had been very popular, and there was a certain quietness over the school, which was really very unusual indeed. The quietness was not a matter of discipline, but because they were so moved, it was a matter of choice. So you can imagine what it was like for Jairus and the other members of the family. Jairus had put his faith in Jesus. Jesus wasn't going to back out now. Leadership always carries expectations. Other people rely on us being able to solve the problem, provide the inspiration, even reverse the decline. CEOs will feel that responsibility acutely. And Jesus, at this time, was presented with the very toughest of assignments. But also, as well as the assignments themselves, he also managed to come across some very demanding people. Leadership roles are not just about doing the work, but about handling the people who go with it. Colleagues, clients, competitors, critics. Jesus had all of those. In the first story, the demands came from the disciples. These disciples in chapter 4 and verse 36, they were muttering and grumbling and saying, not just in verse 36, in verse 38, the disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care? You're not caring. You're asleep. The second story, the demands from the pig farmers. This was after the demons have been cast out of this man. Jesus allowed the demons to go into the pigs, who then headed over a cliff and drowned. And on the face of it, it sounded like a major public relations disaster. Some actions by leaders, whatever generation we live in, are criticized in-house. Sometimes they will make the local papers become more public, as I found out to my own cost two or three times over the years. And this is what happened in verse 16. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. And then we get the third story, the sick lady. All this was done on the quiet when this lady was healed. But had the woman wanted the benefit of healing without any real contact with the master who healed her? And as we look at it again, we see that it wasn't quite straightforward, or she wasn't being quite straightforward, which is why Jesus called her out to the front. And then in the fourth story, we have this commotion that Jesus discovers when he gets to the house where the young girl had just died. As Jesus, we see here, when he came and he arrived, verse 38, they came to the home of the synagogue ruler. Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. And he went in and he said, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. And they just laughed at him. And his response to that was just to put them all out. Get rid of them. Not, of course, the parents and a few disciples. They came with him when he went in to see the young girl. When you come in on a Monday morning with a clear work plan for the week, little do we know how people, just being people, people with some just cause for demanding our attention, people we may like and value very often. But people will often complicate matters more than we realize. Jesus had these tough assignments. He also had some very demanding people to handle. But Jesus, as a leader, took very decisive action. We see that four times over. There's a man, you may have come across him in the past, Sir Brian Smith. He held top positions in major industries in the 1990s. I served with him on the Christian Council when he retired and appreciated his experience enormously. Unlike the majority on our council, he never spoke unless it was absolutely necessary. And when he did, he normally hit the nail right on the head. Once he suggested, in just one line as usual, the essential features of good communication. This is what he said: information should be clear, should be true, and should be simple. And you could tell he was used to summing up a situation very quickly and taking decisive action. And as we look here, we see Jesus acting decisively as well as with great authority. Listen to how he faces four assignments in turn. To the storm, he said, "Quiet, be still." To the demons, he said, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." To the woman with the disease, "Go in peace and be free." To Jairus, his dead 12-year-old daughter, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." So briefly, be still, come out, be free, and get up. And as we hear Jesus at work, we see this is no-nonsense stuff. And yet, and this marks Jesus all over, he didn't just march into the situation, give an order, and then march off again. He would often, before he left, tackle an underlying and ongoing issue, gently but firmly. Jesus was a leader not who only acted very decisively, but also with a soft touch. And it's very interesting to see, as we look through these passages, the soft touch was sometimes a question and sometimes an instruction. And to be pastorally effective, whether it's at work or in church situations, we have to select what might be the best final contribution we make to any situation. It might be a question, or it might be an instruction. What do we leave people with? To the disciples, after the storm died down, he gave them a question. He asked them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" To the man freed from the demons who wanted to be allowed to go off with Jesus and follow him, Jesus didn't let him, and he said to him, "No, you mustn't. No, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you." When he knew that somebody in the crowd had drained him of his healing power, he asked very simply, "Who touched me?" He needed to meet her properly. And after the daughter of Jairus sat up in bed alive, it was important to return life to normal. He told them to give her something to eat. Now, as we hear Jesus speaking to these people and leaving them either a question or an instruction, may I suggest this, that sometime today we pause and ask ourselves the question, given my life at the moment, what question would Jesus ask me? Or given my life at the moment, what instruction would Jesus give me? We're learning here on two levels. We're learning simply as a follower of Jesus Christ. We're also learning, I think, as a leader of others, even if our leadership responsibilities feel quite small. In any form of business, we get criticized if we're simply seen to be reacting all the time. People will ask us, "Where is the vision? How are we doing with the strategic plan?" It's worth remembering as we look through the whole of the gospel that Jesus never swerved from his vision, or rather his mission. He was establishing and demonstrating his unique authority all the time. And one day he would set his face towards Jerusalem and towards death on the cross. And yet he was still able to react to the issue of the moment. And when we look at our own working lives and relationships, it's how we react to the unexpected. It's how we handle the emergency. It's how we deal with the person who suddenly crosses our path that largely defines our leadership capabilities, not just how we plow forward, with the agreed process. And we see that Jesus was able to act both decisively, but also with that very thoughtful, soft touch. Jesus, the CEO, yes, as we've seen, Jesus was in business, very big business. Now, we can never just copy a leadership style, certainly not his, but some of the principles we can draw into our own development. Jesus had his demanding assignments and his demanding people, and we have ours. But we can never just walk away thinking this is just about how we deal with our own lives at work. Because this is presenting us with Jesus, and Jesus was not a CEO like any other CEO. We stand back, terrified, as the people were at the time, by a realization of who he is. Amazed, astonished by what he did. People who met Jesus feared him. People were asking, "Who is this?" Even the wind and the waves obey him. And it's a reminder that there is a fear of Jesus which is healthy and natural and right. Not that we should ever be frightened to approach him. Our life is tough. There are plenty of storms of various kinds. We probably won't see solutions delivered just like that. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as Jesus said to the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." Let's bow our heads for a brief prayer. O God, our Father, we thank you for time out of our day to look at Jesus Christ, how he dealt with his tasks and the people he met. And our Father, we do pray that we may allow him to deal with us too. And we pray, Lord, that whatever fears we have, we may not be afraid. Help us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to revere him, to fear him, to trust him, to love him, day by day. Amen.